In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're continuing on this most important understanding of the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Last month, we read about the creation, redemption, and sanctification. And now what God is showing us in volume 12, January 24th, 1921, that these three fiats must conceal, listen to this, the most holy Trinity on earth. Okay, this is a secret. Why is it a secret? Is because this is a great gift that God is going to really give to all of humanity. When this great gift is given to all the world, everyone will be able to enter into this gift. So what Jesus is asking of us is that we become the yeast, everyone else is the dough. Everyone who is far from Christ, everyone who is close to Christ, is the flour. As the yeast, as the divine will begins to reign in us, it is given to them all over the world. The whole world is changing. This is why we're going through what we're going through. It's nothing to worry about. What's coming is the kingdom. And God is asking us to be the yeast in order to enter into this gift. Now, martyrdom is required. And Jesus calls this martyrdom the martyrdom of martyrdoms. And what is this martyrdom? Somebody called me the other day and they're going, I don't know if I can do this. I said, well, why can't you? And I can't be in bed for 70 years, not eating, drinking, or sleeping. I said, well, that's what Louisa's martyrdom. Louisa went through a great martyrdom. What Jesus is asking of us is he's asking us to, and as you enter into this gift of the divine will, there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. So what happens is the consequence of our martyrdom is peace, joy, and happiness. So we're not going to give life to worry anymore. It's nailed to the cross with Jesus. We're not going to be upset. We're going to go through some difficult times. Let me clue you. We're going to go through some tough times. But Jesus is saying this martyrdom that I want you to go through, it is the martyrdom of martyrdom, not to give life to our human will. So in all situations, we have to learn to say fiat. Now, in most of us, in the course of our life, we've become very upset with people. We've become very annoyed with people. And Jesus is still testing us to see whether we can be peaceful, joyful, and happy. What about this situation? What about that situation? And so God is testing us. He says to Louisa, I will spy on the little children, the holy divine will, to see what they're doing, to see if they're living a peaceful, joyful, happy life. Now, peace, joy, and happiness is heaven. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. So what Jesus is asking us is to let heaven enter into this kingdom within us so that in every situation, it's peace, joy, and happiness. Our Lady was peaceful, joyful, and happy at the foot of the cross. She was suffering horribly. Her heart was split in two. She watched her son that she knew was the Son of God. She knew that he was without sin. She saw him die a horrible, horrible death. And she wasn't vengeful. She wasn't angry. She wasn't complaining. She wasn't negative. She said, fiat. Now, in our situation, the same thing is going on, not to the extent of what Our Lady went through or what Louisa went through. What we're going through is little by little, Jesus is freeing us from ourselves. We are at war. We have to remember that. We are at war. And it's a war over our souls. The evil one wants to bring him into hell just to destroy us. He has no need for us. There's no need for him to be around us. He just hates God and hates the children of God. So this war that's going on is Jesus is saying, I want to arm you. He says, I want you to enter into this battle. That's why we're alive today. We're alive to face this war. We were called to fight this war. As Jesus told Luisa, and I think we went over it last year or the year before, to enter into the army of the divine will. This fight that we're in, he says, the weapons that I will give you are weapons of love. The main weapon is the crucifix. That's the main weapon. That's why you wear your crucifix around your neck. The second weapon is the rosary. The third is your scapular. It's to understand that the scapular tells us we are of divine nobility. This is the clothing of heaven. And where we are going in this kingdom is to be true sons and daughters of God, receiving that divine nobility that Adam lost. Adam was naked because he lost the clothing of divinity. What Jesus is saying to us, and he says it to us every day at Holy Mass, by the priest putting the drop of water under the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. These are not just words just picked out of the blue. We are called to share in the divinity. We are called, as St. Peter says, to be divinized. Great things are happening. So she says, basically, this conceal of the Most Holy Trinity on earth began in secret between God and one soul, Luisa. Afterwards, they are made known. So the first fiat is Jesus. The second fiat is Mary. The third fiat is Luisa. So the entering into this life of Jesus and Mary, one soul has accomplished this because of what God has done, not what Luisa has done. And that's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. God is doing this. She says, I was feeling annihilated in thinking about this blessed fiat, but my adorable Jesus wanted to increase my confusion. Here's God. He goes, you think you're confused? Wait till I show you what I'm going to do. What did Jesus say the other day in sacred scripture at Holy Mass? He said, I came for division. A father against son, a son against father, a mother against mother, a daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. The division is here. Jesus is asking us to enter into this divine life that he gave to Luisa. Most in our families don't want this. Our neighbors don't want it. Our coworkers don't want it. Even our parishioners don't want it. The division isn't to be angry with one another. It's to see what side do you want to be on. And as Catholics, we've been given everything. We've been given the fullness of faith. And so our God is asking us to enter into this abundant life. So she says, I was confused. And Jesus, my adorable Jesus wanted to increase my confusion. He seemed that he wanted to make fun of me, proposing to me astonishing, almost incredible things, taking pleasure in seeing me confused and more annihilated. This is what a father and a mother does to their child. When they give them something that the child is just mesmerized by, you give a flower to a little child, a baby, you know, and the baby is amazed looking at it, like, whoa, almost astonishing, incredible things, taking pleasure in seeing me more confused and more annihilated. It's not punishing Luisa. He's sharing with her his divinity. This is what you see the saints go through. When you look at the saints, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, the ecstasy of love that they went through. Arrows going through their heart, arrows of love, arrows of pain, arrows of falling deeper and deeper in love with God. Jesus is going to bring us beyond what he gave to the saints. What he gave to the saints was how to do the will of God. What he showed Luisa is how to live in the will of God. This is what's coming. This abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness, this abundant life of heaven, and your kingdom come on earth into this kingdom, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God is doing. And what does he do? She says, it seems like he wants to make fun of me, proposing to be astonishing, almost incredible things, taking pleasure in seeing me confused and more annihilated. That's what happens when we're reading Luisa. We're going, wow, what you're telling us, Lord, you haven't revealed this to the saints. The saints learn to do the will of God. Now Jesus says, I've revealed this to no one till this point. And what he tells Louisa, what she puts down in paper are for those who read the book of heaven. I've heard many people say, oh, I've read the saints have said the same thing. No, they haven't. When you read the divine will, when you listen to Jesus, the word of God, speak these words, he is constantly increasing our capacity to understand him more. The more we read, like today's readings were just, it was as we're reading, as you're reading, Jesus is speaking and he's, it would be like the saints were given a map to read. You know, I remember I gave one of my relatives a map and I hand the map. He says, okay, tell me where to go. And we're driving and they go, take a left. I go, can't take a left here. They take a left. So I took a left. Like, what are you doing? We're going south. We're not going east where we're supposed or we're going just the opposite. And so finally I got the map and I went, you're reading it the wrong way. It was, she was hanging on to it, reading it this way. Well, where's north? She would say, it's this. What God is teaching us is something that's unbelievable. Now what we're doing, I mean, it's a terrible analogy, but the computer's in the dashboard and it's telling us where to go. And it's speaking to us, take a left, take a right. You're not trying to figure out what way is north anymore. In the divine will, what God is doing is he's teaching us with advanced technology, if you want to say. We're seeing things in technicolor where the saints saw things in black and white. We're seeing things in three-dimensional where the saints saw things in two-dimensional. What our God is doing is he's teaching us advanced chemistry. He's asking us to begin to realize chemically what things are. And we've never seen this before. And it's very advanced, but it's simple. Why is it simple? Jesus is explaining it to us. As we read, at first you might go, I don't know what you're saying. What do you mean by this? So you keep on reading. What you're doing, Jesus says, is you're learning the language of heaven. He says the book of heaven is the language of heaven. So as Jesus starts to speak to us, as we focus on reading and studying and putting into practice the divine will comes to life in us. And that's what's happening here. At first, Jesus, he seemed to want to increase my confusion. He wanted to make fun of me, proposing astonishing, incredible things, taking pleasure in seeing me confused and more annihilated. What is worse, he says, I am forced by obedience to write it down. See, her spiritual director said, write everything down. Louise says, I don't want to write anything down. She said, the spiritual director says, you write everything down, or anything that you don't put down in paper that Jesus tells you, you will go to hell. We have to know what Jesus, the spiritual director realized what she was talking about. And she knew this was from God and says, you must put down on paper everything that Jesus tells you. So she says, and what's worse, I am forced by obedience to write everything to my greater torment. So while Jesus was leaning his head against mine, supporting his forehead with his hand, and a light coming from it told me, my daughter, Louisa. The first fiat was pronounced in creation with no intervention of man, of humanity, of the creature. So the first fiat was fiat lux, let there be light. And the whole universe began. God did this. He says, the completion of my second fiat, I chose the Blessed Mother. He says, my mama. Now for the fulfillment of both I and Jesus, we want the third fiat to be pronounced, so he says, which will bring to completion that this is why we are alive today. Listen to what Jesus says, which will bring to completion the glory and the honor of the fiat of creation, which will be confirmation and development of the fruits of the fiat of redemption. So the third fiat is sanctification. This is the glory and honor of creation, the glory and honor of redemption. We haven't seen anything yet. Creation is not complete yet. Why? Sanctification has to take place. So a lot of people say, well, this is where God is. We're to live now, to make heaven now. No, no. We're here on earth to fulfill the Our Father. May your kingdom come. It's pleading with God. May your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. That's what God is waiting for. So he says, so the fruits of the fiat will be confirmed and developed. These three fiats will surprise and annihilate in hearing this. Well, did I start late on this today or what? Okay. I was reading page three. Sorry. Now I go to page five. Well, these three fiats will conceal. Listen to this. These three fiats will conceal the most holy Trinity on earth. So what Jesus tells Louisa in one of the main chapters is volume 17, May 4th, 1925. He says the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. Under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. That's the prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth. This is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming, the second Pentecost. So Jesus says, these three fiats will conceal the most holy Trinity on earth, and I, Jesus, will have the fiat voluntas tua on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. As it is in heaven is going to be on earth. And Jesus tells Louisa, there's going to be no difference between heaven and earth. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. What's coming is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. A glorious time to be alive. A glorious time to be alive. These three fiats will be inseparable. Each one will be a life of the other. So creation, redemption, sanctification. Each one is a life of the other. It's like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit reflecting our Heavenly Father, Jesus, Son of God, and the Holy Spirit. Who reflects this more than any human is the Blessed Mother. When she appeared to Bruno in 1947, she said to Bruno, I am the daughter of the Father. I am the mother of the Son. I am the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. So those that don't have Mary and say they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to, when they see what's coming, they're going to be astonished. It's what God wants for us on earth is now the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, and the true life of Mary, the new Eve. Not a virtue or two like the saints have received, but the fullness of life of Jesus. Why did Jesus and Mary come to earth? Why redemption? To bring us back to the womb of the Father. That's what Jesus says. To begin to live this abundant life. To begin to live the true life of Jesus. The true life of Mary. Their DNA in us. Right now, we look like our parents. We sound like our parents. We walk like our parents. Jesus says, I want you in my image and likeness. I want you to have your Father, to be in the image of your Father, the likeness of your Father. So through holy baptism, we enter into the image. And now with this gift of the divine will, this time of sanctification that's coming upon earth, we're going to be in the likeness of God. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus talked about to Louisa today in the calendar. And when you read this, what God is expecting of us is to not have anything separate from the holy humanity of Jesus. If there's something in us that is separate from the holy humanity of Jesus, we can't get to heaven. And if it's part of our life that is not of God, we're going to spend a long time in purgatory to be purged of it. And say, for example, you're feeding the demon of worry. Oh, Father, I've got to worry. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about my health. You're saying to Jesus, you're not a good God. Jesus said that the apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then he says, stop worrying. That's a command from Jesus. Stop worrying. When we see the final devotion that God gave to the earth, to St. Faustina, he said the final devotion is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. And when we say to God, I'm worried about this, God says, you don't trust me. You haven't passed the final devotion. It's got to be not only Jesus, do I trust in you, but I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Impossible situations don't bother us. Why? Jesus, I trust in you. And it's always fiat. It's entering into this abundant life. Yes, Lord, I trust you. Even if it doesn't go according to what we want, Jesus, I trust in you. We got to remember Job. When everything was taken away, he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We got to get back to that. But even more than that, it's Jesus, I trust in you completely. I trust in you completely. I don't understand maybe what's going on physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, but I trust in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. How do you get there? The saints tell us by spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. The saints tell us that if we don't spend time with the passion of Christ, and Jesus tells Luisa the same thing, you're not going to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. You're not going to fall in love with God, the one that you're going to spend eternity with. So what God is asking of us is to trust in him in all situations. And this is why Jesus says he wants to conceal the most holy Trinity on earth. How do we get to the Holy Trinity? How do we dedicate our life to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Jesus says, with the reflection, the three fiats will conceal the most holy Trinity on earth. The reflection of Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. The Old Testament, when Jesus was on Mount Tabor, the church wasn't born yet. The Old Testament, where who appeared with Jesus? It was Moses and Elijah. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The New Testament, it was Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In the new era that's coming, is Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. Wait till you see what God is doing. It's not putting down Joseph. This is the year of St. Joseph. He's getting us ready for what God is going to bring about. St. Joseph is very, very powerful. And as a matter of fact, even in our consecration today, we ask St. Joseph to take care of us. The Feast of St. Raphael today. Pray for healing. As a matter of fact, we just got the protection cross. The protection cross, it's for plagues. We'll get that to everybody a little later. St. Raphael is the one who will basically bring about healing. That's his job. When we pray to St. Raphael today, this is a very important day, place all those that are sick, all those that are physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, have difficulties, put them in the hands of Raphael and say, basically, Lord, you know, Lord Jesus, through St. Raphael, you know, bring healing to our loved ones, especially the little children, the Holy Divine Will. So Jesus says this, these three fiats will be inseparable. Each one will be the life of the other. They will be one and three, but distinct among themselves. Sound familiar? That's the Trinity. One and three, but distinct among themselves. My divine love, Jesus says, wants this. My glory demands this. Having unleashed the first two fiats from the womb of my creative power, it now wants to unleash the third fiat. Since my love can no longer contain this, in order to complete the work which has come from me, otherwise the work of creation and redemption would be incomplete. So creation and redemption is going to be complete. We're going to see this on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is saying to us, focus on the things of heaven, because what's coming is of divine. What's coming is not limited to the human level. It's the divine life that's coming upon earth. What is that divine life? It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. They came to redeem us. Why? So now to sanctify us. When we look at the lives of the saints, we are astonished. When we look at the lives of the saints, we are amazed about what they have done, what they have gone through. As you enter into the divine will, you're going to be even more overwhelmed, because what God is now doing is he's saying to us personally, in our own situations, how he wants to perfect us. He says to Louisa very often, maybe we should do a book on that someday, about becoming his divine masterpiece, entering into this life where God, we're going to be a divine masterpiece for God, for divinity. So what God wants to do is he says basically to us, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the colors, the brushes, the drawing, the painting, the sculpture that he's going to do. And he's asking us, would you be willing to let me bring about my divine masterpiece in you? That's why he created us. That's why we're all different. We're all unique. Each one of us, different irises, different fingerprints, different voices, different sizes, different colors, different shapes. Why? He loves us so much. He wants, and that's why we can never be jealous of anybody. Spiritual jealousy is the worst. It's not to be jealous of anybody. It's what God has given to each and every one of us. He has not given to anybody else. The way he has formed us, the way he has put us together is for his happiness, his glory, his honor. And he wants us to share in that by becoming who he has called us to be. That's sanctification. And God wants this on earth exactly the way the saints have it in heaven. They don't have a body in heaven. They're waiting for their glorified body. Jesus says, when you're on earth, he says, I want you to begin to live the true life of Jesus that while he was on earth, the true life of Mary while she was on earth. How did they live? That's the reason, the whole reason for the Holy Rosary. The whole reason for the Holy Rosary is to meditate on the life of Jesus and Mary. We're learning each day as we pray. Each day, he's opening the door wider and wider so that we can see what God is calling us to. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. How do we live it? We go to Louisa. They dictated everything to Louisa. Louisa put everything on paper so that as we read this, he keeps on expanding our capacity to understand what he wants. You're not going to embrace everything. You can't. God is infinite. 1,000,000,000 years from now, we'll still be trying to enter into this abundant life that God wants us to live. We're never going to be to understand everything about God. He's infinite, omnipotent. He's glorious. He's pure love. And he says, I want you to share in my divinity. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. So what is he doing? He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. So he says, basically, my love can no longer contain it. He says, my love wants this. My glory demands it, that the first two fiats will now be from the first two fiats of creation, redemption. Now sanctification is coming. Now is the time. He says, otherwise the work of creation, redemption would be incomplete. On hearing this, now here's Louisa. Here's little Louisa. She had a first grade education. Listen to that. On hearing this, I was not only confused, but stunned. And I said to myself, is all this possible? That's the glory of reading the Book of Heaven. Every day you say this, is this all possible? You, God, love us so much that you have called us to be alive at this time, to read this, to study this. The saints would be fighting over if they were envious. What Is all this possible? There are so many souls. And if it is true that he has chosen me, Luisa, and us, if this is true, it seems that this is one of Jesus's usual follies. Further, I could say and do, what can I say and do for my bed? Half crippled, half inept as I am. Could I ever face the multiplicity and infinity of the fiation, the fiat of creation and redemption? Here's Luisa, little Luisa. She's understanding what God is saying. We have to understand this, what God is saying to us. We have to begin to understand this. Could I ever face the multiplicity and infinity of the fiat of creation and redemption? Since my fiat is similar to the other two, I would have to run together with Jesus and Mary, with creation and redemption, to do the good which they do, to braid myself with them. When you braid, when you have three braids and you braid them together in a very short period, you don't know which braid is which braid, which part of the head it came from. That's what God wants. He wants us to be so one with Jesus and Mary that he's given us Luisa so that with Luisa, we are braided with Jesus and Mary. And you can't tell which one is which. Image and likeness. See, God is making it very clear. She brings this thing about braiding. I braid myself with them. Jesus, think of what you're doing. I am not for this. I am not for this much. And she says, but who can tell all the nonsense that I was saying? So here's Luisa is overwhelmed because she's comprehending what God is calling us to. I get calls on the phone from many, many people. And a lot of them just say, I got to talk to somebody. they say, what I'm reading is so amazing. It's so astonishing. I can't tell my family. They don't want to hear it. I can't tell my friends. They don't want to hear it. I can't tell anybody this. I got to talk to somebody about this. It's so amazing. And it's constant. As you read this, we're saying the same thing. You're asking me to give my fiat one with Luisa, to run together with Jesus and Mary, to do the good which Jesus and Mary have done, to braid myself with them. What are you thinking about, Jesus? And then she says, I've got to stop talking. She goes, what God is doing, and this is the joy of reading the Book of Heaven. As you read this and you're listening to Jesus speak, as you enter into this, it becomes very clear that he's explaining life, explaining light, explaining love to us. And as we begin to read this and study this and put this into practice, we just step back and go, the only way we can do it, this is what basically we say. The only way I can do it is if I just say, do it. Lord, have your way with me. Do with me as you wish. It's so far beyond, like Our Lady, when she said the fiat mihi, the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God. She goes, how can I be? I've already promised the life of virginity. I'm not going to be married. I don't know a man. She says, tell me, how is this possible? How can I please God? That was Our Lady's prayer. And the angel said, show me how this can be done, and I want to do it. The angel said, it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat mihi. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. That's what we say when we read this. How is this possible? There's all these souls, and you're wanting me to do this? One with Luisa? How is this possible? Here's Luisa. She goes, what can I say and do from a bed half crippled and inept as I am? She goes, how could I ever face the multiplicity and infinity of the fiat of creation and redemption? Since my fiat is going to be braided with Jesus and Mary's fiat. She understands very, very clearly. Do we understand what Jesus is asking of us? That's why read every day. Every day as you read, he's expanding your capacity to understand more of what the Lord God Almighty wants for us. And it's not the writings of Luisa. It's not the writings of a saint. It's the writings. Jesus said, write down what I say and obey your confessor. Listen to what he says. And if you don't put something down, that's how in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, that's how it starts. He goes, Louisa, did you write everything down? She goes, yes, Lord, I wrote everything down. And he goes, what if I told you that you did not put down the most important thing about the divine will? She goes, tell me, I'll put it down on paper right now. When you read that, she couldn't believe that this was happening. And she did not put down the most important thing. And that's why I keep on saying the most important passage of the Book of Heaven is volume 17, May 4th, 1925. Read that over and over and over, and you will begin to understand what this is about. This is not about being a saint. It's about saving humanity, bringing all of humanity back to God, going back to where Adam was created for, what Adam and his children were created for, the Garden of Eden. This is what's coming. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Now, my sweet Jesus came back and told me, my daughter, calm down. I, Jesus, choose whomever I, Jesus, please. I choose whoever I want. I'm God. Calm down. However, know that I always begin my works with myself and one creature. You look at Benedictines, Saint Benedict. Look at the Franciscans, Saint Francis. Look at the Dominicans, Saint Dominic. One creature for the divine will is Luisa La Santa, Luisa the saint of the divine will. And afterwards, they are spread. In fact, who was the first spectator of the fiat of my creation? Adam and then Eve. It wasn't surely a multitude of people. Only after years and years did crowds and multitudes of people become spectators of it. He says, in the second fiat, my mother Mary was the only spectator. Not even Saint Joseph knew anything. And my mother Mary found herself in the condition similar to yours, Louisa. How can this be? Why are you doing this now with me? She says, Louisa. And us linked to Louisa. We're nobodies, we're nothings. Don't think you're living in the divine will, because that time has not come yet. It's our time to prove to Jesus that we want this gift more than anything. And how do we prove it? Jesus says, by focusing on the divine will, reading, studying, and putting this into practice. Like I said, when I was in the secret archives of the Vatican, the thumbprints of Louisa were etched onto the pages. She was reading this and studying it. How can I do this? What do I need to do? And what was Jesus doing her whole life? Jesus was teaching her, revealing to her what needed to change in her life. Okay, that's what God is doing with us. You know, Jesus says, I can find no one that wants this. He says, everybody's doing what they want. Even good people, holy people, saintly people are doing what they want. I'm going to build this church. I'm going to build this monastery. I'm going to build this convent. I'm going to build this orphanage. That's what St. Honorable de Francia was doing. And what happened at the end of his life, he said to Louisa, this is all I want to do. I want to focus on this gift. And then he said to Louisa, tell Jesus to heal me so that I can focus this on this gift. And Jesus, you know, said to Louisa, basically, this is why I kept telling him to focus on this. The more you focus on it, the more you can have it. You know, so what happens is they were supposed to print the books and they already started printing the books in 1920. As a matter of fact, the book that was printed in the Puglia area that goes all the way up to Giovanni Rotondo, the book that was printed in 1918 was the Passion of the Christ. A lot of good people were reading that book at that time. And it was printed up in Germany, in German. And one of the reasons why they burnt the books was these books would change the face of the earth. And I think it was 1934, they burnt the books. They destroyed these books because these books will change the face of the earth. I remember when we were at the Secret Archives of the Vatican, Cardinal Ratzinger was very, very happy that we were there. And I do believe that he more than likely, because the books were printed in Bavaria at the Benedictine monastery that he and his brother used to go to as children. I can imagine Father Beda seeing these boys and giving them the virtue of bearing the kingdom, giving them the hours of the passion, because the Cardinal Ratzinger at that time was ecstatic that we were there. He was so happy. He was so happy that we were printing these books. I'm printing these books, copying these books. Good things are coming. Great things are coming. He wants to use us to transform the face of the earth. Okay. This is why the battle is going on. The evil one knows what's coming. He knows he's going to be defeated. And if a 16-year-old girl, St. Joan of Arc, can lead an army into battle and conquer another army, and even get wounded and survive, I'm pretty sure God can use us in a way, might not be as similar, but it will be more powerful, because this is the battle that God has been waiting for. God's going to win. What was it? Jim Caviezel said when he was in the Passion of the Christ, he said that the devil appeared to him. I mean, basically to kill him. Let's listen to that story from Jim Caviezel. And what happened? It was the devil appeared in all his rage, and it terrified him when he saw the evil one with this rage to destroy Jim Caviezel. And Jesus appeared and Jesus came up with divine justice to stop the devil. And when Jim Caviezel saw the divine justice of Jesus, he says, the wrath of God, going after the devil, he says it was more terrifying than looking at the terror of the devil. That you have to understand, God's going to win, and he's going to put everything in proper place. And if we have anything within us that's opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus, we're going to face the wrath of God. He's given us our life to turn to him. He's given us the Eucharist. He's given us the sacraments and sacramentals. He's given us his mother. He's given us the dogma and doctrine of our faith. He's given the keys to Peter. Do you think that God is going to lose? We have the fullness of faith, and we're being attacked with every heresy that's ever come against the church at this time. Every heresy that's ever come against the church is now hitting us through the internet. People haven't been taught, and they're hearing things and seeing things so horrible against the church that they will go, well, it's probably true. Jesus is saying to us, I know what's coming, and I'm going to prepare my people to get through this. So what does he do? He chooses Louisa to give the third fiat to her so that it could come to us, so that we can, with Jesus, with the angels, with St. Michael, to under the leadership of Our Lady, they're not going to win. The demons are not going to win. The demons are going to go back to hell with their tails between their legs, terrified of what's coming. The kingdom is coming. And God has given us the kingdom to his children. What does he say to Louisa? He says to Louisa, I'm going to destroy those poisonous plants that are killing my innocent plants. This is divine justice that's coming. And what we should be doing is getting closer and closer to God. And he's given us the way and the how we can do this through the book, in the book of heaven. As you read the book of heaven, everything in your life changes. Nothing can be the same anymore. Nothing can be the same anymore. When you're listening to Jesus talk to you, just listen to what he says. He says, the greatness of the creative power of my work, which Our Lady felt within her, was such that confused, she did not feel the strength to mention it to anyone. And if St. Joseph knew about it, it was because I, Jesus, manifested it to him. So this fiat germinated like a seed within her virginal womb. The ear of the grain was formed in order to multiply it. And then it came to the light of day. But who were the spectators? Very few. This is what's happening right now. Very few people know about the divine fiat, the third fiat. Most don't want to know. Most are living their own lives. And unfortunately today, most are living separate from Christ and his church. And it's going to be a shock. All the heresies of the world are fighting against the church now. And most people are very far from God. And what's important is that God is going to bring them to him. All of us, it says none of us basically have lived in that glory of God. You know, most of us have been away from God, away from Christ, away from his church. I mean, sinners. And what God wants is he says, come to me. So what does God do? He gives us the sacraments and sacramentals, confession most especially. But what we are facing is this battle over our soul. What does St. Paul say? You know, my spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. St. Paul recognizes that as you get close to God, God is purifying each and every one of us. And what's so glorious is he's showing us the war that we're in, the battle that we're in. It's over our soul. Whether we become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, or sin, what's happening at that point, God is saying, you know, I will take care of this if you let me. See, it's Jesus has to reign in us completely. And this is what she's saying. Our Lady, confused, did not feel the strength to mention to anyone. And if St. Joseph knew, it was because I manifested it to him. So this fiat germinated like a seed within a virginal womb. An ear of grain was formed, then they multiplied it, and then it came to the light of day. But who are the spectators? Very few. In the room of Nazareth, my dear mama and St. Joseph were the only spectators. Then, when my most holy humanity grew up, I, Jesus, went out, and I, Jesus, made myself known, but not to all. Afterwards, it spread more and more, and it will still spread. So will the third fiat be. Again, he says it's going to reflect what happened in redemption, in the second fiat. How Jesus, little by little, formed the Catholic life again, the universal life that Adam lost. Jesus and Mary bring it to earth. This universal life is now given to the world. This Catholic life is given to the world, little by little. And at this point, the war that we're in is the final battle, I really believe. And it's not the end of the world. I'm not saying that. It's the kingdom is coming. God is going to win. We have to go back to 1884 when Pope Leo XIII heard the devil say to Jesus, give me 100 years. Jesus said, it's yours. 33 years later, on the 13th of of October. The miracle of the sun happens. He realizes she is going to crush my head. So what does he do? He starts the Russian Revolution. And what happens? John Paul II, 1984, does the consecration. 1989, Russia dissolves. Russia becomes, or the USSR becomes Russia again. July of this year, the CCP says, we've now celebrated our 100th anniversary. 100 years is over. God wins. God wins. And God is allowing us to experience this. There's no need to be afraid. Either God is our God or he's not. If he's our God, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be afraid of. As we read, as we study, as we put this book into practice, this book of heaven into practice, we become more and more confirmed that everything's going the way it's supposed to go. God's in charge. God is in charge. I think about Jim Caviezel when the devil himself comes up to destroy him, filled with rage from hell, and Jesus shows up. Think about that. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is looking at us and he's saying to us, do you trust me? Every miracle, what happened? The woman who 18 years, bleeding for 18 years, touches the hem of his garment, the tillit, the prayer shawl, touches the hem. Why? Because in Leviticus, it says the hem of the Messiah will heal you. And what does Jesus do? He turns around and he says, who did this? He knew who did it. He's God. He knew who did it, but he wanted to hear from her. He wanted to hear her confession. I believe that you are the Messiah. And what does Jesus say? It's your faith that has healed you. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. When we read the book of heaven, Jesus is speaking to us. And he's leading us, guiding us, directing us. So he says to Luisa, and he's telling to us, so will the third fiat be. I, God, it will germinate within you, Luisa. The ear of the grain will be formed. Only the priest will have the knowledge of it. Then a few souls, and then it will spread. It will spread and will follow the same path as creation and redemption. The more crushed you, Luisa, feel, the more the ear of the third fiat grows and fundicated within you, Luisa. Therefore, be attentive, be faithful. This is what Jesus is asking of us. Be attentive. Like I said, I really honestly believe when I hear be attentive, it means read this, study this. Be attentive to what I'm saying, Jesus says. Volume 13, 19:21. The two supports of Jesus in Gethsemane. Now here, this is important for us. This is why Our Lady's on Jesus' right and Luisa's on Jesus' left. The two supports of Jesus in Gethsemane. In order to know the truths, it is necessary to have the will, the desire to know them. The truth is simple. I, Luisa, keep company with Jesus, who was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane. See, there's no time or space in the divine will. You can go to Gethsemane to be with Jesus. You can go to Bethlehem to be with Jesus. You can go to Nazareth to be with Jesus. You can go to Capernaum to be with Jesus. You can be with Jesus and Mary. This is why, again, we pray the rosary. We want our memory to be focused on Jesus and Mary. And as much as I could, I compassionated him and I pressed him tightly to my heart, trying to wipe his mortal sweat and my sorrowful Jesus with faint and expiring voice told me, my daughter, Luisa, my agony in the garden was hard and painful, maybe more painful than that of the cross. In fact, if that was the fulfillment and the triumph over all here in the garden, it was the beginning. And the sufferings are felt more at the beginning than they are at the end. But in this agony, the most harrowing pain was that the sins came before me one by one. My holy humanity comprehended all their enormity, and each crime carried the mark death to a God. armed with a sword to kill me. Each sin was death to a God. Before the divinity, sin appeared to be so very horrifying and more horrible than death itself. Just in comprehending what sin means, I felt I was dying. And I did really die. And I cried out to the Father, but he was inexorable. Not even one was there to help me so as to not let me die. I cried out to all humanity to have pity on me, but in vain. So my holy humanity languished, and I was about to receive the last blow of death. But do you know who prevented the execution and sustained my humanity from dying? The first was my inseparable mama. In hearing me ask for help, she, Mary, flew to my side and sustained me. And I, Jesus, leaned my right arm on her, almost dying. I, Jesus, looked at Mary, and I found in her the immensity of my divine will intact, without a break between my will and hers. My will is life. That's what we're going to learn from Jesus. Living in the divine will, we're entering into his life. And since the will of the Father was immovable and death was coming to me from creatures, another creature, Mary, who enclosed the life of my will, gave me life. And here is my mama, who in the portent of my will conceived me and gave me birth in time, and now giving me life for a second time to let me accomplish the work of redemption. So what Jesus is saying there is the agony in the garden, he tells Louisa, this was more painful, more suffering than the crucifixion, than the physical pain, because every sin came at him saying death to a God. Every sin, every thought, every word, every deed from every human that ever was born. Death to a God. And he said, I did die, he goes. So God is showing us, you know, when we do the stations of the cross, you know, the agony in the garden is part of the stations of the cross. To be with Jesus. To be with the scourging. This is why our God is such a great God, that he gave us through Mel Gibson a glimpse of the Passion of the Christ. A glimpse. And the new movie is coming out in 2022. It's The Resurrection. And the Resurrection is going to help us turn to God even more. And I've always said, watch the Passion of the Christ. Watch it. And be with Jesus. So that when you're praying your rosary, when you're doing the stations of the cross, you can be with Jesus. You can see him more clearly. It's helping us more than you can imagine, because the gift of bilocation helps us to go to Calvary, to be with our Lord. Then I looked to my left, and I found Louisa, the little daughter of my divine will. So when James and John said to Jesus, I want to sit on your right and your left, Jesus says, it's not for me to decide. That's for the Father. Now we know who sits at the right and the left of Jesus. It is Mary, his mother, and Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will. I found you, Louisa, as the first, following my other daughters of my divine will, followed by other daughters of my divine will. Hopefully that's us, sons and daughters of God. She's the first to be with Jesus, and we want to be with her to support Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus says. The secret of how to enter into this life of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. How to enter into the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the reflection. That's why volume 1 through volume 10 is the becoming a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19, how to receive the power of the divine, the power of the Holy Spirit by living in the divine will. And third, to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was before the fall. This is what's coming. It's going to the whole earth. Jesus says the whole earth is going to shake by what's coming to the earth. And it has a lot to do with what we're talking about now, the divine will. The kingdom's coming. God's going to wake everybody up. If somebody is sound asleep in bed, sometimes you got to be shaken to wake up. God's going to wake us all up. The sooner, the better. Since I, Jesus, wanted my mother with me as the first link of divine mercy through which we were to open the doors to all creatures, I wanted to lean my right arm on the Blessed Mother. And I wanted you, Louisa, as the first link of divine justice to prevent it from unloading itself upon all creatures as they deserve. Therefore, I wanted you, Louisa, I wanted to lean my left arm on you, Louisa, so that you might sustain it together with me. So Jesus says, Our Lady brings divine mercy. You, Louisa, bring divine justice. That's what's coming to the earth. Divine justice is coming to the earth. Get ready for it. And Jesus says to Louisa, He has mercy on those souls who surrender to His divine justice. Every night we surrender to God's divine justice before we go to sleep. I surrender myself to you, to your justice, Lord. And then we go through our life. We make a good act of contrition. Every night, presenting to Jesus how we thought, what we said, what we did. Intellect, memory, and will. How we responded to God and our neighbor during this day. Divine justice. That's what's coming. So Jesus says, with these two supports, Our Lady and Louisa, I, Jesus, felt life come back to me. And just as I, Jesus, had not suffered, as if I had suffered nothing, anything, with firm step, I went to meet my enemies. In all the pains which I suffered during my passion, many of which were capable of giving me death, these two supports, Mary and Louisa, never left me. So what is Jesus asking of us? Let Our Lady be your support. Let Louisa be your support. You're going to find that the time we're entering into, the prayers of the saints are not going to get us through this. Because the prayers of the saints were to fight one heresy at a time. What's coming, it's a full attack against the church. A full attack. God wins. God wins. What God is going to show us, as Our Lady told Louisa, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. Jesus taught Louisa how Adam prayed before the fall, how he commanded. And he says to Louisa, wait till you get into that command. Your prayer life changes powerfully. Ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. Jesus is going to show us how to pray. And what he says is going to happen through Louisa. The miracles, the prodigies that are going to happen through Louisa have never been seen before on the face of the earth. What's coming is basically, we're going to see a share in divinity through a human. Our Lady is Theotokos, Mother of God. Louisa is born of original sin. There's no comparison between the two. She's Theotokos, Mother of God. Louisa is the human born of original sin, which Jesus says, finally, I have someone who I can give this gift of the divine will to, that like I gave to Adam. Someone who can now give this to the rest of the world. This is an amazing time to be alive. Is everything's falling apart? It's not. Jesus is putting everything together. Everything is happening according to his plan. Trust the plan. You've heard that. Trust the plan. God's in charge. The best is yet to come. So Jesus says very, very clearly, Okay. And when they, Jesus, Mary and Louisa, saw me nearly dying with my own will, which they contained, the mother of God and the newborn, Louisa, they both contained my divine will. These are the three that contain the divine will. He says, they sustained me as though giving me many sips of life. Oh, prodigy of my divine will. Who can ever count and calculate their value? This is why I, Jesus, love so much the soul, Louisa, and those linked to Louisa, who lives in my divine will. We want to live in the divine will. The fullness of it isn't here yet. Jesus talks about that to Louisa, and he says, when this fullness comes, it's going to shake the earth. He says, this is why, Jesus, I love so much Louisa, who lives in my divine will, and recognize my portrait in her. Volume 1 through volume 10, a divine mirror of Jesus. My noble features, and I, Jesus, feel my own breath, the Ruah of God. My voice, the echo of God. And if I, Jesus, did not love Louisa, I would defraud myself. I would be like a father without offspring, without the noble cortege of his court, without the crown of his children. And if I did not have the offspring, the court, the crown, how could I call myself a king? My kingdom is formed by those who live in my divine will and form this kingdom. I, Jesus, chose Mary, the mother and the queen, the children, the ministers, the army, the people. I am everything for them, and they are all for me. So here he uses the title, I am. This is just amazing. Afterwards, I was thinking about what Jesus told me, and I said to myself, how can this be put into practice? Now, Jesus, that's our question. How do I do this? If Jesus wants this, how do I put this into practice? And Jesus returned and added, my daughter, in order to know the truths, it is necessary to have the will, the desire to know them. You choose. You're going to choose this. And it's not going to be, well, I think I'll have a cup of coffee this morning. No, it's you're choosing this as your life. It's not something that you're going to change. He says they have to have the will, the desire to know these truths. Imagine a room with shutters are closed. No matter how much sun there may be on the outside, the room remains always in the dark. Now opening the shutters. Okay, so you're in the dark. That's where most people are. Those in the Holy Church are opening the shutters. Okay. It's opening the shutters, meaning wanting light, but this is not enough. If one does not take advantage of the light and to order, reorder the room, that means put ourselves back in proper order, dust it and put himself to work so as not to kill the light which is given and become ungrateful. So it's working on your interior life, going to confession, making that part of your life, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. In the same way, it is not enough to have the will to know the truths if, at the light of the truths which illuminates, one does not try to dust himself of his own weaknesses, disorder, reordering himself according to the light of the truth he knows. And this is what's happening with all of those who are reading the Book of Heaven. Put himself to work together with the light of the truth, making of it his own substance in such a way that the light of the truth which he has absorbed may shine through his mouth, through his hands, through his bearing. It would be as if he killed the truth by not putting it into practice. So the next part is you have to begin to put this into practice. Okay, and Jesus is going to show you. And he's going to show you ways that you never thought of, you never heard of. He says it would be as if he killed the truth by not putting it into practice. And it would be like remaining in total disorder before this divine light. Poor room, full of light, but all messed up, upside down, in total disorder. That's where most people are. Even though they're striving to be Catholic, their life is completely disordered. With a person in it who does not know how to take care of reordering it, how pitiful it would not be. Such a one who knows the truths and does not put them into practice. So as we're reading, Jesus is speaking and he's saying, learn from me. I am gentle and humble of heart. Learn from me. I'm going to teach you this. Each day, that's why I love reading the calendar. Each day, today's readings, I do this every time, but today's readings were unbelievable. It's like you go to heaven and Jesus explains everything to you. However, know that simplicity enters into all truths as first nourishment. If the truths were not simple, they would not be light, and they could not penetrate into the human minds to enlighten them. Where there is no light, objects cannot be distinguished. Simplicity is not only light, but it is like the air that one breathes, though it cannot be seen, and gives respiration to all. If it wasn't for the air, the earth and everybody would remain without motion. So that's the first step, or the second step, is to you're in a dark room, we open the windows. The third step is you go outside into the sun. That's the book of heaven. Going out into the sun. Now, you're not looking through your window. Oh, there's the earth. You're looking all around, and the earth is all around. You're looking up. It's everything is alive. That's what the divine will does. The saints have taught us to look through the windows. What the divine will does, it tells us to go out and begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Okay, that's what we're doing. We're beginning, okay, it's not just watering a plant in the window. It's plowing a field. It's not just, dusting the inside of the house. It's going outside and putting order in the land. The North 40, getting them plowed, getting them ready. For what? For growth, for an explosion of life. The fourth stage is to leave Earth and to enter into the sun and participate in the sun. Nobody's there yet. I know some people say they are. God bless them. But to enter into the sun is to be like God, image and likeness. Right now, we're Jesus is showing us what to do, and we're beginning to live this abundant life. One day, Jesus says, when he is ready, when he sees the souls that want the divine will more than anything, people will leave earth and enter into the sun, participating in God, one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. But right now, where we are, he's shown us the door. Remember, he's knocking at the door. There's no handle on the door. If you have noticed that, the one he's knocking on, we open the door and go out with Jesus. He comes in to us. We go out with him. And everything begins for the souls who are striving to learn what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. Don't limit God. Now, what do I mean by limiting God? Saying to God, well, I don't know if that's going to happen to me. God goes, it can't happen to you. You said no. We have to be like Our Lady. How can I do this? I've got a pea brain. How can I do this? My faith is limited. How can I do this? The angel said, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. The sanctification is coming. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon the earth. This new era that's coming is of the Holy Spirit. It's going to make the first Holy Spirit look like a drop in the bucket compared to the second Pentecost. What a glorious time to be alive. So Jesus is showing us the way and the how the kingdom of God is going to come on earth. This dust, remember, man, that thou art dust, this dust on earth, exactly the way it's in heaven. We let the Spirit of God breathe into us. That's what I think Jesus talked about that today, breathing into us. He wants that rule of God to breathe. So when we breathe, when we're learning how to put this into practice, breathe. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe in me as you breathed into Adam. Breathe into me as you breathed into the Blessed Mother. Breathe into me as Jesus breathed. I want to be one with Jesus and Mary. I want what you gave to Louisa. I want to live this abundant life. I want heaven on earth. Remember when the dead baby was put in Louisa's arms? That was Father Bucci's mother who put his brother, his older brother, dead, blue, cold, lifeless, stiff as a board, in the arms of Luisa, falling to the floor, weeping. Luisa looks at the baby and says, feed him, he's hungry. There's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, there's no sin. That's what we want. As we begin to trust into Jesus, trust in Mary, through what Jesus and Mary gave to Luisa, everything changes for us. Our prayer life changes. It's not begging God, please, 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 please. It's saying to God, let it be done as you wish. Let this prayer become your command. As St. Peter taught us when Jesus was walking on the water, he says, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. Jesus says, come. He gets out of the boat and he walks on water. Humans don't walk on water. He gets out 20 feet, maybe starts sinking, cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Jesus grabs him and said, why did you fail? You see what Jesus wants for us? Don't fail. Why did you falter? Don't falter. Where is your faith? No more being afraid. Saying to God, I trust in you completely. I believe in you completely. I have confidence in you completely. You say this to Luisa, I want it as well. I want what you gave to Luisa. That's how you link yourself to Luisa, so you can have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. It's not wishful thinking. It's not limiting God. Like when I read, it's the same thing, what we read earlier. How can you do this? Are you kidding me? You really want this for us now? Jesus goes, yes. And you go, let it be done. I want to see you do this, Lord. You're working with the bottom of the barrel. And if you've ever made grapes or wine, you know what's at the bottom of the barrel. That's us. Everything else is gone. Everybody's doing their own thing. We are still with Jesus, and he says, I'm going to make the best out of you. Even though you're just sludge at the bottom of the barrel, wait till you see what I'm going to do with you. So that's what he's doing. He's working on us. Don't get discouraged. Go to confession. Make confession your life. I mean, go to confession and make a good confession. I mean, really, this is what God is looking for. So what happens is, as God leads us, guides us, directs us, this is what he wants for us. And this is what he says. This is what he says. Okay. What did he say here? He says, simply, it's not only light, but it's like the air that one breathes. Okay, the brew of God, the breath of God. Through it, it cannot be seen. It gives respiration to all. And if it wasn't for the air, the earth and everyone who remained without motion, they would be dead. Therefore, if virtues of truths do not carry the mark of simplicity, they will be without light, without air. The divine will is simple. It's simple. It's not complicated. What Jesus says, it is. So let's just take that one last line. Therefore, if the virtues of truths are not simple, they will be without light, without air. So he says, when Jesus speaks, it is simplicity. God is the simplest of all. He's pure love. And what he asks us to do is to enter into this love, this life of love, light of life. He wants us to enter into this true love of God. This is the divine will. This is why he says, the weapons I'm going to give you to fight this battle that you're in, this final battle that you're in, is weapons of love. It's the way Jesus lived. It's the way Mary lived. It's the way they taught Luisa. We're going to learn this simple, beautiful, powerful life of Jesus and Mary that they have given to Luisa. And now they want to give it to us. So they're telling us, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, how to live this beautiful, powerful life of Jesus, this beautiful, powerful life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, this universal life, this Catholic life that Jesus and Mary brings to earth. The life that Adam lost in paradise. He says, Jesus says, I want this life to begin. The powerful way, not just with one of many religions. It's the religion. It's the life that God breathed into Adam. The Ruah of God, the breath of God. That's why when this power of the Holy Spirit comes upon the earth, this second Pentecost that's coming, this harvest that's coming, when this breath of God comes upon the earth, that's what Jesus says to Louisa. I want to breathe in humanity again. I want to bring them back to where they were before the fall. That's what God has planned for us. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be worried about, nothing to be anxious about, nothing to be complaining about. God is in charge. And he has asked us personally to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus, of Mary, through Louisa. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray that all the little children, the holy divine will, become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next month.